Con Show on 720 WGN. All right, we're joined by a guy we have seen quite a bit in press conferences over the last couple of months now. Brigadier General Richard Neely. He is the Adjutant General of the Illinois National Guard. And General, thank you so much for being with us. The National Guard has done amazing work here since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, and then all of a sudden had to shift gears to deal with the civil unrest. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But I want to talk first about the COVID response, because you're men and women, and there are 13,000 men and women in the Illinois National Guard. That's between the Air Guard and the Army Guard. We're right on the spot in terms of helping build and staff these emergency facilities that we had to build throughout the Chicagoland area, specifically at McCormick Place. Let's talk a little bit about that. How quickly are you guys able to build those facilities in the field?
Hey, well, good afternoon, Ro. It's great to be with you this afternoon. And, well, the McCormick Place was, you know, nationally was the largest alternate care facility that was produced and built. And, you know, the National Guard played a support role in that. The Army Corps of Engineers played a significant role in contracting the build-out of that. And we were there right along each step of the way, bringing, you know, some of our unique skill sets with carpentry and construction and logistics and really the movement of many of those pieces, trying to help pull that facility together. As you can imagine, it's kind of along the lines of trying to build a hospital. And we're right there hand in hand with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, as they were the lead on the project. And we were trying to facilitate many of those support functions that are just so critical to pull it together.
Well, you also know, as a career military officer in the Air Force, and that might confuse some people here, because the National Guard has two components. It's got, for states, it's got an Air Guard and it's got an Army Guard. And you can, and an Air Force or Army adjutant general can be from either service and be a part of this, right? That doesn't really matter. I just want to make that perfectly clear for people who are like, wait, what? But The important piece here is, though, you know, having served a career in the military, you know how quickly and how effectively, especially that service can be. When you get a construction service that comes in, lands, you know, in country, wherever it happens to be, and is able to get a medical facility up and going, in some cases, in just a matter of hours, that they're able to at least start seeing their first patients. It's really awe-inspiring.
It really is. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the men and women of the Illinois National Guard. And we saw this really across the country. But, again, McCormick was the largest build-out that we had seen because of the need and really having the access to the facility. And so it is, when you see the logistics capability, the management, the command and control, as we talk about, transportation, all those pieces come together. Those natural, what almost seems natural and innate to a military member, are hard to find sometimes in different industries. And when we go after a big project, we quickly are able to roll in and evaluate it and get to work right away, just because of our backgrounds. And, mm-hmm. you know, as we were kind of doing an after action the other day and discussions about some of the key components of that, I look at that, the National Guard and our military training, we train to fight America's wars, whether in the Air Force or in the Army, as you so well articulated. But it's those skills that we learn, and we learn in uniform, that when our state calls upon us, that we're able as citizen soldiers and airmen really to roll out and support the state. And the COVID was a great example of where, you know, the emergency management apparatus really got stretched thin. And your National Guard is your fallback. You know, it's that right. It's that resource that the state has that, you know, it's kind of a break glass in case of emergency resource that we're able to quickly roll in. And you know, and shift from our DOD warfighting mission into supporting the homeland, supporting our neighbors and the citizens of our state. And so it makes us the most proud to have that kind of that dual mission, that dual wearing two hats, and to be able to, you know, support our neighbors and sometimes and that are just down the street that are in the midst of a disaster. So we were really happy to be able to serve in that way.
General, I want to ask your reaction to those who are critical of the fact that we built that facility and so few people used it. And there are many who said it was a waste of money, a waste of energy, or some sort of a political stunt. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I don't want to talk, you know, there's a lot of people throw things around because of political answers. Mm-hmm. I sat very close at the table when those decisions were made. Those were very academic decisions that were made. Those were hard choices that have to be made. And in the military, we train for the war. We train and we plan and we purchase equipment and things of that nature, aircraft and ships and all that, for a war that we hope we never have to fight. And you know, it's that preparation that if you're not prepared, you're late to need, you're late to respond, you're late to be able to support. And so the devastations we see in disasters where the emergency apparatus wasn't prepared or knew something was coming and didn't end up acting. That is the worst case scenario for me. We need to make sure that we're prepared, that our citizens are taken care of. It's just, you know, incredibly important to make sure that we're able to take care of our own, especially those that are the most challenged in the most challenging environments. And when you run out of hospital space and you're making decisions, you know, I interact with my international partners and they talk about Italy and people being turned away, one bed for 50 people that needed it. And those are decisions that we had the great fortune not to have to face here in Illinois because of the wisdom that was made, that was taken on, and the decisions, the hard decisions that were made early on.
Well, I'm glad you did answer that because I was going to answer for you because those people drive me nuts because that is the best case scenario. Illinois, at least so far in this, and you know, we will, as Dr. Fauci says, let the virus command the battle space here for at least a little while. But we certainly know that we would be better off prepared. And since the state did a really good job of the initial shelter in place, the bending of the curve, everybody talked about bending the curve, and the citizens of the state of Illinois did, especially up here in the Chicago area where we were heavily affected by this, really did a good job of doing that because we didn't end up needing what could have been a real disaster had we not had. I know it's a crazy way of looking at it, but it is the truth. All right, joined by Brigadier General Richard Neely. He is the 40th Adjutant General for the state of Illinois, for the Illinois National Guard. We were just talking about what you guys were doing, your men and women, 13,000 of them, and about 2,200 were full-time military in this. People get very confused about what the National Guard is. Maybe we should go back and explain that. I'm a child of a career Air Force officer who spent many of his last years in the service in the National Guard as a full-timer and then as a part-timer. And then, as you mentioned, this is an interesting thing. One of the other roles that he had at the end of his career was in what was then called civil defense, which is now emergency management. And he had to go to special schools for that to learn about these kinds of issues of whether it was going to be at that point, it was the 1970s into the 80s. So it was about nuclear strikes and civil unrest like we've seen here and other kinds of, you know, mass contagion, mass poisoning, things like that. It's a really interesting thing. And that's what your men and women also train for in this, because you're going to be called in case there is mass, whatever, confusion, right, on the streets and there needs to be some sort of order.
Well, yes. Thanks again, Rob. Those are great questions and great perspective. I mean, having a father that served in the National Guard, that's an incredible perspective. And as we've seen in really a post-9/11 and a post Katrina environment, the National Guard is being utilized in a much different way as, you know, national incident emergency management system is really established, and the National Guard is used more often in these particular cases, excuse me, in some of these different situations. And so the National Guard is starting to see themselves in different areas. And it, you know, it's a good reminder that, you know, the National Guard is dual hatted, as we talked about earlier. We, you know, we're a reserve of the Army, the reserve of the Air Force, and we're also aligned through our state, and we our commander in chief is also the governor, and that creates an incredible efficiency to be able to take those skills that we have on the battlefield and be able to transfer them and sometimes very easily to response to an emergency, such as logistics support and those kind of things. And other times, you know, it's more of a challenge. So, for example, we don't train for pandemics. We do have some capabilities to understand pandemics and that. But, you know, 1918 was the last time we had a pandemic. And so 102 years ago, and, you know, our pandemic plan was was pretty short because the specifics are just lacking. Things like community-based testing sites, which we've become very good at, was something that we really had to create on the fly. And I'm proud to say that Illinois became a best practice on how we did that based on, you know, a lot of our soldiers and airmen that had training in these areas. They really built out the best practices and shared them.
Yeah, and it's important to note that you talk about logistics. If there's a flood, if there's a, you know, massive tornado outbreak, if there's destruction, you often see National Guard coming in and trying to help in that. And they're not in an armed position. Those men and women are not carrying sidearms or long guns or anything like that. They're in there literally, just to pick stuff up and create a daisy chain, right? And just move the supplies are. And you mentioned citizen soldier earlier because I love that term. That is exactly what a lot of these men and women are, is that, you know, by day they may be nurses, or they may be police officers, or they may be firefighters, or in some cases accountants, lawyers, and priests were the ones that I met, were my dad's best friends in the Guard. And when called in, you know, they would do their regular check-in duty, and then when, you know, called up for duty, they were flying all over the world doing important things. And that's, and you know, very rarely were they ever domesticated, you know, were they ever used here. But they're like any other member of the military. They're trained, they're ready to go, and they go in at a moment's notice. And I should also mention this too, that starting in the Gulf War, and then obviously, post 9/11 in the Iraq War and in Afghanistan for sure, the Illinois National Guard, when they actually do get federalized, they get called up by the Army in this particular case, or their units, sometimes in the Air Force, air refuelers or transport aircraft, when they get called up, they actually, you know, they become part of the fighting force. And the Illinois Army National Guard has been, you would probably know this better, but I want to say like four times maybe since 2001, those guys go away for a year, right?
Yes, sir. And in fact, if I could kind of spend just a second on that, the National Guard really was remade to an operational reserve post 9/11. Because our military is so much smaller than what it used to be. The peace dividend, as we talked about in the the fall of the wall in the 1990s, really shrunk the active duty down and said, "Hey, let's have a smaller active duty. The threat's really not there, and we can we'll use the Guard and Reserve differently." You know, after 9/11 and the need for more capability, the National Guard was remade into instead of a strategic reserve, which meant, you know, during World War III, break glass, bring them out. The move has really changed to use the National Guard all the time. And so we are on constant deployments. Right now I have 1,200 people either deployed or in the midst of redeploying that are overseas right now fighting America's wars and scattered all over. And that's Air National Guard and Army National Guard. We have battalions of infantry that we just shipped out a couple months ago and had a battalion return a couple months ago, and we have bits and pieces all over the world right now. So we're doing this at the same time we're doing our home mission with COVID, the flood response, the cyber response, and the civil disturbance that we supported.
A lot of people get worried about seeing basically Army men, just to use the term, on the street, you know, in full, you know, battle wear, and they may have a sidearm or whatever it is, and you've got those troop carriers, which are pretty impressive vehicles when you get up right next to them, and there's this whole idea that, you know, the Army is taking over the streets. And I understand the politics of that, and I'm very protective of, personally protective in my position as a voice here, of the use of National Guard specifically because of my experience with it. But I thought your again, men and women did an amazing job on the streets here over the last couple of weeks.
Well, let me reassure you, it makes me nervous as well. If there's, you know, one of the missions that you know, we take on very carefully and with a lot of thought and a lot of consideration in the homeland, it's support of law enforcement. And this civil disturbance that we supported a couple weeks ago was really with a intent to support law enforcement. We talked about emergency management when it gets stretched too thin and they run out of capacity. This also happens sometimes in the law enforcement area, and so we you know, we took the mission on when the mayor asked and the governor asked for us to step up. We took the mission on, but knowing that we would take on only, and this was agreed upon with the mayor and the governor, the three of us saw completely eye to eye that the National Guard would take a back seat to law enforcement, that we did not want to be on the front lines. We only wanted to provide security and checkpoints. You know, if there were engagements with our citizens, we did not want to be in that place. We were going to do security and stay back as far as we could and take on some of those lower key security missions away from law enforcement and let them, you know, deal with the crowd control and those things. Because, you know, the last thing we want to do, you know, when I say citizen soldiers, these are people that live in this community. These are people right. that are that have the same concerns as the community. I have the same concerns as the community does about you know, the challenges that we're seeing in our nation based on race and that. And I personally am moved by that. And you know, we're all having that discussion about, you know, how do we make things better in that. So we were there plainly to support law enforcement and to support our citizens, the citizens that have the free right to, you know, to protest and hear their voices heard and do it peacefully, and try to ensure that those that were doing rioting and were breaking the peace were separated from those that wanted to have peaceful marches and have their voices heard, you know, as an American right to be on the streets. And so it is intimidating sometimes when you see, we forget sometimes, we wear the uniform so often that we forget how intimidating it is sometimes when you roll out with a Humvee and you have one of your soldiers in the gear, so yeah. to speak. You know, those are areas where we, you know, we're very careful about how we roll out to yeah. To support law enforcement.
Totally understood. General, thank you very much. General Richard Neely, Adjutant General, Illinois National Guard, thank you very, very much for your service and the service of your 13,000 men and women throughout this entire craziness that has been 2020. I know many of us appreciate it. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.